Praise the Lord. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Middle school can be dismissed. Children's church can be dismissed. We're going to get into the word. Amen?
Amen.
I told Dom just to hold our horses because I'll be quick. No, I'm just kidding. I got a word this week and last week and since the new year, and I'm excited to share this word. It's a word of instruction. Ain't it good to have instruction on a daily basis in our lives while we're at work, while we're at school? No matter what we do, we need some type of instruction in order for us to succeed and do well. Amen? I'm going to start today in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to be reading a lot of word, but it's good word. It's good stuff. Proverbs chapter 4. You ready? Hear, O sons, a father's instructions, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Now, this is Solomon talking to his kids, giving his kids some instruction. For I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and he said to me, let your hearts hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the path of uprightness. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of the instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The day of the wicked is like a deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from your crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word that you had given me to share with the congregation today, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that all hearts will be open, all ears will be open, all eyes will be open to see and hear the words that you are saying to the people today. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. At the beginning, I talked about instruction. This was instruction. This is almost as if we've heard this instruction throughout the whole Bible. Obedience will let you live long life. Obedience. God wants us to be obedient to his word. He wants us to pursue his word. He wants us to have instruction by his word. And in order to obtain that instruction, we need to understand the instruction that he has given us. We got to have a daily devotion with God. We got to have a daily relationship with God for us to understand what it is he wants for us to do. We just can't be who we want to be or worldly. We've got to be children of the Most High God. We've got to live in what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. For some more instruction. I love instruction. I love the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, the disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit. The poor in spirit refers to us not being arrogant, us not being self-reliant. We need to be reliant on Jesus Christ. We need to be reliant on the Holy Spirit. Every day we walk in Christ, we need to live by the Holy Spirit, by His instruction for us, by what He wants us to do. We need to live. Without the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. We're going to fail. We need the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. Every minute of the day, we need to realize the presence of God is with us. If He's not with us, then something's wrong. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us through our daily lives. It's very important. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning, to recognize or to feel sorrow over our own weakness. We are weak, but He is strong. We've been taught that our whole life. We sang songs about it when we were little kids. It's simple instruction, but that's how we need to be. We need to mourn over that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are those who are humble and are submissive to God. Are we submissive to God in our actions? Are we submissive to what He wants us to do? Are we submissive in our everyday lives? We've got to be submissive to what God is calling us to be. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Every day, every minute of every day, we have to pursue righteousness. It's one of the most important things we can do as followers of Christ, is to pursue righteousness on a daily basis. We have to pursue righteousness. It's not going to be handed to us. We've got to pursue it in our thoughts. We've got to pursue it in our actions. We've got to pursue it in our words. We have to pursue righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The merciful are people full of sympathy and compassion towards those who are suffering either from sin or sorrow. We have to show compassions to our loved ones. We have to show compassions to the people out there on the street that don't know Christ. We have to show compassions in everything we do. We've got to imitate Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Jesus told the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That means to do everything He does and practice that on a daily basis. Do everything that Jesus, follow Him. If He walked around like this, we should walk around like this. Yeah. Amen. Amen? We've got to follow Jesus on a daily basis. We've got to do the things He has instructed us to do. We've got to imitate Him. That's what we have to do. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart are those who have devoted themselves to God and have been freed from the power of sin. Are you free from the power of sin? In John chapter 5, I believe it is, He healed the paralytic man. He gave him instruction. He said, "One, take up your bed and walk." And the man did what Jesus told him to do. He took up his bed and walked. But the second thing he said, he seen him later, and Jesus said, "Ha ha, you're healed. Now go and sin no more." He didn't tell him, "Go and try not to sin." He didn't tell him, work your best at it. He said, don't sin. We've got to keep sin out of our life. It's hard sometimes. It's hard. I'm guilty. I'll drive down the street and somebody cuts me off and I'm getting ready to sin. That's just me. I can't take it when somebody cuts me off, but I've got to learn to be humble. I've got to learn to just let them, especially when the lane ends and somebody wants to just drive all the way up and get in front of you. Get back in the back of the line. If everybody would do that, traffic would move smoothly. But they like to cut you off. They like to speed up. I've just got to learn to just wave, have a nice day. Go ahead. I got to be nice about it. I've got to keep sin out of my life in all aspects. Every day, we got to die to flesh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? The peacemakers are those who have been reconciled to God, restored to a right relationship with God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to follow that instruction. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People who follow Christ and live according to the principles of God's word will face opposition. We get faced with it all the time. There's people in other countries that die because of their faith in Christianity. It's coming. What we read in the Bible is real. What's happening in the world today is real. I was real excited this week watching, most of you seen the football game, or some of you may have seen the football game Monday night, but one of the guys tackled another guy, and it was just a common play. It wasn't nothing hard, and the defensive guy, the tackler, had cardiac arrest right there on the field, and they had to bring him back to life. But my amazement is everybody that's praying. The man on ESPN prayed during the broadcast. You know, any other time people start praying, something's wrong, or, you know, what in the world are they doing? But this man needed our prayers, and the Christian community, the faith of people, whether they believe or not, there's prayers going out for this young man, and he's recovering slowly, and they said he had a 5% to 7% chance of making it from that cardiac arrest, and now he's talking and he's FaceTiming his friends, and football may not be the most important thing in his life anymore, and he needs to reconsider what the most important thing in his life is, because Jesus gave him a second chance. Jesus gave him a second chance. But the prayers of the nation went out to this young man, and how powerful is that when a nation comes together and starts praying? We know how powerful it is when a church comes together and starts praying. We see things happen. We know. But when a nation comes together and starts praying, things happen. Amen. I get excited about it, thinking about what the multitudes can do when we start having faith in Jesus Christ. Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All the disciples died horribly. They were persecuted. We're all disciples. We may not die like they die. We may not be martyred in the street, but we may. But Jesus wants us to hold steady to our faith, hold steady in our faith in him. Jesus wants us to not worry about it. Because when we go on for him, we're not going to be faced with the second death, which is eternal death. We're going to be faced with just one death. We're not going to be hurt in the second death. Jesus wants our hearts. If you are the salt of the earth, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We are the salt. We are the season for the people outside of the church. We need to make it good for everybody. We need everybody to get to see us as a bride, as a church, as one. We've got to make it, we just got to make it good for everybody to want to come in. Some people see a big juicy steak, they want to get a big juicy steak. And they want to eat it, and they want to, that's what, I'm not saying we need to be a big juicy steak, but we need to be, we need to show our goodness to the people outside of the church. They need to see us. And they need to see our light. They need to see who we are on a daily basis. We don't need to be worldly. We can't show our light if we're acting just like the rest of the world. We can't do it. That's instruction from Jesus. We've had instruction from Solomon, the father, a father to his kids. We've had instruction from Jesus. Now let's turn to Revelations chapter 1. Now, I could just skip chapter 1 and go on to chapter 2, but I want to read chapter 1 because there's a blessing for me and for you in chapter 1. And chapter 1 goes like this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to the servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Even to all that he saw, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. The time is near. It is 2023. The time is near that Jesus is going to be coming for his church. We've heard it for a long time. I've heard it all my life. This year I will turn 50. And I've heard it all my life that the time is near. And you wonder when the time is near, but I think about the last 50 years. I think about the last 50 years, and time moves pretty quick. You know, and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. That young man Monday night, he had no earthly idea he was going to go out there and play the game he loves, tackle somebody, and come this close to losing his life. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But the time is near that one day soon, Jesus is going to come for his bride. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. We have to make our mind up. Are we going to see Jesus? Are we going to be ready for him when he comes? A bride on her wedding day, everything has to be perfect. Her hair has to be perfect. Her toenails, her nails, everything has to be perfect. Her dress has to be perfect. She wants to be pretty and beautiful for her groom. We need to start thinking about being perfect for Jesus Christ. Amen? John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. We are free from our sins by his blood. We've got to start making excuses for our Christianity. I am not going to do this. I am not going to partake in this because I am free of sin. I don't sin no more. I am a child of the Almighty God. Instead of saying, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. We got to get away from the mindset. I'm at that mindset sometimes. I'll do now, but I'll ask for forgiveness later. It ain't going to work like that. we've got to be in the mindset, I am no longer a sinner. I am freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a child of the Almighty King. I'm going to walk in the way he wants me to walk. I am going to talk in the way he wants me to talk. I am going to live for him. And whoever sees me sees Jesus Christ living through me. Amen? Amen. Amen. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to the God the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the stripes and all the tribes on the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. When I was a little kid, and my dad was pastoring at First Assembly in Durham, one night I had a dream, and this is for real, and I'll never forget it. One night I had a dream, and I was coming out of the church, and there was Jesus in the sky, and he was turning for everyone to see. And in the blink of an eye, I was not on earth no more, but I could see the chaos going on down on earth. And it was so real to me. I was probably not even 10 years old, 11 years old, and I'll never forget it. But more importantly, just seeing him standing or in the clouds, just turning for everyone to see. And you knew everybody could see him. We look up in the clouds directly overhead, we see an airplane. Well, somebody in Greensboro ain't going to see what we see. But that particular day, everybody could see him, and you knew everybody could see him. That's real. That's what the Bible says. I don't know why I dreamed that. I don't know why he put that in my head at such a young age, but that's real. And in the blink, I was with him. I was in there. That's what he wants for his church. He wants to reign with us. He don't want no one to miss out. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and in patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos. And on account of the word of God and on the testimony of Jesus, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches of Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his heads were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell to his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive ever forevermore. And I live. I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. To the first church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently. Patiently enduring is spending your day with God. The church of Ephesus was doing everything right. They were doing his works. They were doing his commands. They were doing everything right. But Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. Jesus don't want us to do things out of obligation. Jesus don't want us to do things just to check a box. Jesus wants a personal relationship with us on a daily basis that we love him. We've got to be a bride ready for the groom. He's not coming to somebody that don't love him. He wants our love, and we're going to do the things out of love for him and not out of obligation. He didn't die on the cross because he was obligated to do it. He died on the cross because he loved us. The Father didn't give his Son to die for us out of obligation. He did it because he loved us. What kind of love? Do you love him back enough to not sin? Do you love him back enough to be perfect for him? Do you love him back enough to want to have a relationship with him on a daily basis? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans was kind of followed a pagan ritual. They did immoral things. The Church of Ephesus didn't like that. But they were caught up in just doing it out of obligation. And Jesus called them out on it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We got to be conquerors. We got to conquer sin. We've got to be perfect before Christ. Seems like all my life, sin is excusable just as long as you ask for forgiveness. It is. Ask for forgiveness. Repent, but quit sinning. He told the paralytic man, don't sin. In John chapter 8, he told the adulterous woman, I forgive you. Don't sin. Stop it. We've got to get in that mindset to stop it. To the church of Smyrna and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write the words of the first and the last who died and come to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty. You have nothing. Poverty means you're basically poor. You have nothing. And the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are in the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear for what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Ladybug, sorry. Is about to throw some of you into prison and that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will be in tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Sometimes we go through tribulation. Sometimes we go through trials. Sometimes it seems like the devil is knocking on our door constantly. But Jesus is telling us to hold fast. Stay in his word. Stay in his love. Stay in what he wants for you. Don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to that temptation of sin. Don't give in to what the devil has for you because there's no life in it. Give in to what Jesus Christ has for you. It don't matter how tough things get here on earth. Stay in his presence. Stay in his right mind. Stay in the right mind of being in God's presence. When Adam and Eve took the fruit of knowledge and they ate, what did they do afterwards? They knew they sinned. They knew they disobeyed. They hid from the presence of God. If you're hiding from the presence of God, how are you going to be instructed to do what's right? They hid from the presence of God. I don't want to hide from the presence of God. I want to stay in his presence all day long. Well, that's hard. We got to go to work. We do have to go to work, but it doesn't mean you can't pray and be in God's presence while you're working. It doesn't mean that you can't show that salt. It doesn't mean that your lampstand can't, your lamp can't light up for Jesus Christ on a daily basis. It doesn't mean any of that. It means that you are a light for Christ. Be a light for Christ. Make your decision. Make your mind up. I'm either in or I'm out. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Those who conquer will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamon write the words of him who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. Also, you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This church was in a city surrounded by Satan, surrounded by a Roman emperor who had three or four different temples in that city. In this city, this church had to deal with, if you weren't sinning, something was wrong with you. That's how bad the sin was in this city. They were surrounded by it. But Jesus is telling them to repent. If not, I will come to you soon and rage war against them with the sword of my mouth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a war against Jesus Christ. I don't want to be in that war. I want to be on his side. And all we have to do is just do what's right. If we don't do what's right, I don't want to go past chapters 1, 2, and 3 in this book. That's the scary part. If you can't grasp chapters 1, 2, and 3, you don't need to turn the page to chapter 4 and move on. We got to grasp what Jesus is telling the church. To the church of Thyatira. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and those feet are like burnished bronze. I know your work, your love, your faith, and your servants, and your patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw them into great tribulation unless they repent of their works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart and will give to each of you according to your works. The spirit of Jezebel. There's denominations in our world of churches that are preaching and practicing sexual immorality. They're practicing homosexuality. They're saying it's okay, and it's not. It's an abomination unto God. It is sin. What are we encouraging? What is the church encouraging? We need to stand against what is wrong and what is right. We need to be for what is right. We need to stand against what is wrong. And what is wrong is anyone trying to get you out of the mindset of God, trying to make you think that sin is okay, trying to make you think that we can practice these things, trying to make you think that you can stand with those things. We've got to stand for what God stands for. We got to walk in what God walks with. He is calling us to be his disciples. Wrong is wrong, right is right. We got to grasp it. There's no middle. There's no happy in between. We either stand for it or we don't stand for it. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, you have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. To you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers, I will keep my works until the end. To him I will give authority over the nation, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. We got to be alive in Christ. We can't be dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die for. I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember that what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come against you. Yet you will still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Walk with him in white. God's going to dress us in white. White symbolizes purity, forgiveness. Wake up, church. We've got to wake up and smell the roses. Jesus is coming back, and we've got to be ready. We've got to be alive. We've got to stay in the Word every day. We got to know when he's coming. If we don't, he's going to come like a thief in the night. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to go with him? The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We've got to be ready. To the church of Philadelphia and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens up and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, but yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. Behold, I will make of those in the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you because you kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. The church of Philadelphia is a church we need to model ourselves by. The church of Philadelphia did everything right. The church of Philadelphia gets the promise of they don't have to deal with the trial that's coming. God's going to take them out of here. What church do you want to be? Do you want to face his wrath? Or do you want to be perfect before him and he just take you out? Spare you of all that. Take you to paradise with his Father. Eating manna, eating from the tree of life. That's what I want. I don't want to see all the things that are coming in the trials. We need to model ourselves of the Church of Philadelphia. Hold fast what you have so that no one seizes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and on the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the church of Laodicea, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write the words, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither hot or cold, or cold or hot. What that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The church of Laodicea was the Beverly Hills. The city was like Beverly Hills. It had all the money it could ever want. And they got their water from an aqueduct. But it was out of a hot spring. And by the time it got down to the city, the water was lukewarm. And the people of this city, when they would drink it, they would spit it out. Who likes lukewarm water? When you're out in the hot, you want some nice, cold, refreshing water. Not lukewarm water. So Jesus was telling them, you're like the lukewarm water. I'll spit you out. For you say I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, and poor, blind, and naked. You can have all the money in the world, but if you ain't got Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing. Money don't make you happy. Jesus Christ makes you happy. Yes, we need money to live. We need money to pay our bills. We need money to do what we need to do. But don't make that the priority of your life. Make Jesus Christ your priority. That's when you become rich, when he becomes the center of your life. That's when you can retire to paradise. That's when I'm retiring to paradise. I will counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and the salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline to be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me. The ones who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Are you hearing the word of the Lord today? Stand your feet with me, Don. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I know the time is near for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You need to make a decision if you're going to serve him or not serve him. I want this altar call just to be a reflection of where you're at. When he gave me this word to share, I never realized basically how perfect we need to be for him. How beautiful of a bride that we need to be for him. And how ready we need to be for when he comes. It's eye-opening. I didn't give these verses to them back there, but I just want to share it with you. bow your heads and close your eyes and think about it. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. But for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Jesus is telling us that very few are going to find the way to life. And he's telling us that the gate that's wide is for those who just won't receive and hear what he's telling us. Let this altar time be a time to just reflect and just judge where you're at according to the letters to the seven churches. Where are you spiritually? Where are you as a child of Christ? Let's get right. The altars are open. The prayer warriors will be available to pray for you if you need prayer. The time for salvation is now. The time for salvation is now.